The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Stanford Marshmallow Experiment was originally conducted back in the 1960s, and a few years ago it reappeared in a set of videos on YouTube. Children, sometimes as young as 3 or 4, are taken by a teacher into a room. And on the table in the room is a plate. And on that plate is a single large marshmallow. And the children are told that if they don't eat the marshmallow, but they wait until the teacher returns, they will get 2 marshmallows. And the children try to wait. They squirm. They wiggle. Some of them cover their eyes and they kick the desk and they look around to see if anyone is watching. Some will gently touch the marshmallow. Some will lick it. Some will nibble it. Some will outright gobble it. And some manage to restrain themselves. But all for different periods of time. Wait. It can be really hard to wait. We've been waiting for Christmas, and it seems like it gets harder each year since the decorations now go up before Halloween. We wait for the boxes to arrive from Amazon, for the perfect sale to buy the perfect gift, for cookies to be baked, for the kids to get out of school, and the loved ones to arrive. And we wait, too, for God. We hear the voice of the psalmist crying out, "I wait for the Lord all the day long." The prophet Isaiah says, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." Abraham and Sarah spent 25 years waiting for the child God promised. Moses and the Israelites spent 40 years in the desert waiting for God to bring them to the promised land. And after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the disciples were told to wait for the Holy Spirit. And we wait now, too, for the full coming of the kingdom. I wait. I long for the day when I will visit the hospital and see empty room after empty room. when there is no line at the community kitchen, when no one calls or stops by Faith Lutheran asking for a tank of gas or enough money to pay the heating bill. I long for a time when politicians and countries will work together for peace, when there's no racism or discrimination, no broken families. We wait for God. But God doesn't wait for us. God didn't wait for Moses to perfect his speaking skills or for the prodigal son to reach the front door. The night that baby Jesus was born, things were not ready. Yet God came. God didn't wait for the world to be ready. Jesus was born in the midst of political oppression and poverty. Mary and Joseph would be forced to flee their homeland and take refuge in another country. God didn't wait for the shepherds to get ready. God came to the shepherds when they were out doing just what they did every single day, out in the fields taking care of their sheep. They were dirty from their work and very likely tired. Who knows what kind of a day they had had? There could have been wolves or lost sheep. They didn't even have a chance to put on clean clothes. They didn't get to go to the temple or gather with their family together before they were called by the angels to meet the newborn king. God didn't wait for Mary and Joseph to get ready. When preparing for the arrival of a new baby, today's parents attend birthing classes, pick the pediatrician, pre-wash the baby clothes, paint the nursery, and figure out how to get that pesky car seat installed in the car. Parents today want to be ready. Who could ever be ready to give birth to the Son of God? The world wasn't ready. Yet Jesus came. New life came into the world that night and into our lives. I've never actually had anyone clean my house before, but I'm told there's a strong temptation to clean up the house before the cleaners come. You know, clean the bathroom or the kitchen just enough so that nobody really knows how dirty we really are. We don't need to clean up before welcoming God into our lives. God doesn't wait until our lives are perfect. But God comes into the mess of our lives, lives filled with sin and doubt. God doesn't wait until our faith is unshakable. When would that be? When would our faith ever be good enough? That's what kept Martin Luther up at night. He worried that God might only love him if he followed all the commandments and never ever sinned, if his faith were perfect. How could Luther ever achieve that? The Gospel of John declares faith to be a verb. That means faith is not something that we achieve or earn. But faith is an active and an ongoing process. Our relationship with God is always growing, always changing, always deepening, and always being lived out. Luther came to understand that he didn't have to earn God's love. He didn't have to be perfect. And we don't have to perfectly love God either. Instead, we have to accept God's love for us. That's grace, pure, undeserved grace. God comes into our lives when we need God the most. Today, in the form of a baby, into our imperfect world, into our imperfect lives, setting us on a new course forever. And as with Mary, we can only hope that when Jesus comes into our lives, our response will be, let it be with me. And then let us pray that we too won't wait, but but give our lives fully to Christ, reaching out to love others as Jesus has loved us. Waiting is hard, and we too squirm, and we wiggle, and we kick the desk, and we are tempted. Whether we're waiting to eat the marshmallow, waiting for Christmas, or waiting until the kingdom of God finally comes, it's hard. Yet in the darkness of our waiting, God doesn't wait. The bright light of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is born. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.